Sonny Rollins on tenor sax, opening the great jazz classic Strode Road with a trio of sidemen in a class by themselves. Tommy Flanagan on piano, Doug Watkins on bass, and Max Roach on drums. This is from Rollins' 1956 album. Yes, I went all the way back there. Saxophone Colossus, an apt description for the man himself. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Just what the heck is going on in your country? What have you done to your country? Maybe this is what the streaks are all about in the sky. They're disseminating all this mind-boggling substances so that our minds are clogged up. We can't, I don't know how much more of this we could take. This is insane. Absolutely insane that the so-called greatest nation in the world, this is how things are. Everybody seems to have a tinge of madness, varying only in degree. But we certainly have it all around, it seems. The latest is the civil war in the White House between the newly added Mr. Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci, who is the head of, communications for the Trump administration. And he is in open war now with Reince Priebus. He's gone public with it. He's accusing Reince Priebus, who is the right-hand man to Donald Trump, accusing him of being a leaker and demanding an FBI investigation of Reince Priebus's supposed leaks, and it goes on like that. And in the meantime, of course, we know a day after he did it, what he did. Your president has just inflamed the entire country with his action yesterday, basically banning transsexuals from all parts of the military. And apparently has no problem with it. He likes the decision that he made. He said that it's in his hands, of course, being the president of the United States. He has to do this, and this is a responsible action on his part. His stunning announcement yesterday that transgender people will be banned from all parts of the military set off a torrent of negative reaction across the country. This is what he said. Actually, he tweeted it, you know. This he considers an official way of communicating. He said, after consultation with my generals and military experts, he owns them, so they are my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Well, we know what this is about. In large measure, he's calculating. This is what his right-wing religious political base would approve of. They like these kinds of actions. These are, after all, godless people. And it is time, for crying out loud, to put God back in the army, back in the military. Yes, it is. So he was doing the right thing, according to his political base. Many people in his political base, we are likely to believe. But here's the thing that nobody is saying. Once again, I told you, Donald Trump is obsessed with Barack Obama. Just absolutely obsessed with the man. So much so that most of his concentration has been directed toward just looking up as many things that he could find that he could do to erase Barack Obama, his stamp on any policies that Barack Obama might have passed, including this one, and just obliterate them. He stays up all night thinking of ways in which he can chip away or just completely destroy an Obama directive. And one of the directives was this very thing, integrating the armed forces. However, Barack Obama is not blame-free here because he did, while he did approve of the measure, he also gave the military a year to review it. And within that time frame, they were supposed to make a final decision on that, which they did not do. The time ran out, Obama left office, and Donald Trump saw an opportunity to just go for broke here. He could tackle yet another Obama administration policy and shred it to smithereens. So that is also on one of the reasons that Donald Trump is just so feverish. This is my theory. I know I could be wrong. But just look at what he has tackled so far. And the policies that he wants to enact, they all, for the most part, not all, for the most part, he is burying Obama's policies that were enacted and approved and all of that. He has this obsession with Barack Obama. That's my theory. That's my theory. And part of it is to punish, as in the case of transsexuals, to punish people with that kind of fervor that we long have associated with the right wing. And this was something that they lobbied for. A spokesperson for, I forgot the name of the group now, had said that, yes, they were talking to Donald Trump. They were trying to lobby him to look at this matter. But they did not. I mean, even they were stunned. They said they did not expect that Trump will go so far. So even for the rabid right, this was a very brutal act that he took that they themselves did not expect that he would go so far. While Trump is talking about the fact that he had to do this, he had to take this measure because the issue is cost. Having transsexuals in the military means that the military will incur additional costs that the nation is not obligated to bear. And besides that, there would be a disruptive force. They would be disruptive. if they are included in the ranks of the military. Well, he might have checked with leading people, just or just people who are alive and breathing and have been on to developments in the most recent years, and they would have told him, hey, buddy, your military has thousands of transgender people, thousands of gays, and they've been to war. They've fought, they've bled. They believe in God and country. They've served the nation. Where do you get this idea that somehow they've got to be rooted out? They're not real Americans. They're not patriots. They're freaks. And you know, many generals think this way. What they want are red-blooded Americans who can shoot straight and kill people. And those red-blooded Americans cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, be gay or transgender. So I see the resistance, and I'm not talking about Hillary Clinton's kind of resistance. I see people who are genuinely offended by the president's action, and it's building as it should, and he ought to be clobbered over the head for doing something this stupid. But then again, this is who he is. So it's a combination of a lot of stupidity going on here that finally ends up in Donald Trump sending out via Twitter this statement, this notice to the American people. They like to talk about the American people a lot. And I think of the history of this kind of hatred, not just by Trump, but by other people in office at the helm of the ship of state. You think about how many times in our history hatred really was the bedrock on which a lot of policies were made. And as far as veterans are concerned, people who have served this country and people who wanted to serve this country, the obstacles that deliberately were placed before them for the simple reason that at the highest level of government, we had blithering idiots who were so filled with hate they couldn't stomach the idea that Asians, African Americans, Latinos had a passion and a love for this country, that they even laid down their lives for this country and then couldn't eat with their fellow soldiers, couldn't live in the same barracks as the fellow soldiers. You know, I think of these noble people, women as well, women in the military. What a stupid idea it was to believe that they just did not have the capacity to do their work like any soldier. But when you're dealing with ignorance, I mean, ignorance is a very, very bad thing. You look at the Buffalo Soldiers, well, going all the way back. You look at the numbers of people coming from all these different cultures living in the United States and expressing their gratitude, really, and their pride in the country, which did not treat them well at all. Nor did they treat their children well. But they still had a sense of moral obligation to this country that despite the horrid treatment that they received as patriots, as people defending this country, when many of the presidents, just like Trump, would never do it. Trump had 5 opportunities to serve his country and never answered the call. All these people who could tell what should happen with the military. And here's the thing, here's the irony of it. He is commander in chief, a guy who'd never served in the military, who didn't have the guts, who didn't have the patriotism, who didn't have a sense of obligation, never served this country, is commander in chief. Telling people who are not going to be serving this country. You see the irony here. And we all should stand up. We all should stand up and say, no, you don't get to do this. We weren't here to stand up for the black soldiers, the Tuskegee Airmen, splendid examples not only of military achievement and prowess, but just honor and dignity and commitment to country. Treated so horribly, so rotten, because the head of state, their commander-in-chief, and many of the people under him, the ones he referred to in this cryptic note as my generals, as if you'd even deserve to use that possessive pronoun, that these are your, my generals. A man who dodged a draft 5 times. And you're informing them essentially that they have no rights, they will not be recognized within the military as persons, as real people with rights. Now is the time to stand up. We didn't see the nation stand up, as that famous saying goes. First, they came for one group, and others did not respond appropriately. Then they came for another group, and eventually they would come for us all. It would come for us all. And this president has to be sent, excuse me, a strong signal that his fogged up brain, which is doing him a lot of damage, we're not going to tolerate him exporting that damage throughout the country. The generals might be for the most part, they might be supportive of hate as policy, but we should take a stand. There are many people who are being harmed by this administration under the guise of policy. So it's now the policy of the military to just ban. You're the master banner. They will no longer be involved in any capacity. You can't even serve in the office and type up a couple of forms. You can't even be assigned to clean up the grounds. if you happen to be in the group that he's targeting here, if you happen to be transgender, you're of no use. You can't do anything. Now, imagine this. Let's say a person who is transgender and affected by this rule is forced to be discharged. Okay. Well, was it his fault or her fault? How is this going to reflect on their afterlife outside the military? Could they get a job without being identified as, you know, inferior material because happened to be transgender? Is the military now going to assume some kind of responsibility or liability for those already in the military? Their mental health. Because it is a hell of a thing on the outside to deal with this kind of discrimination. It's another thing when your own country, your own military that you have signed on to do some bit of good in the world, is telling you you are defective and you are not worth, even after they accept you into the military, you're now defective. And you will have to figure out your life for yourself. We're not responsible for you in any way. Who assumes responsibility for the psychological fallout of that and the financial fallout of that? You just decide one morning early that you're going to issue one of your mind-numbing tweets and destroy tens of thousands of lives, and then you go on with the rest of your day insulting people, attacking your own cabinet members, you know, destroying the country under the guise that these things have to be done in order to raise the country back up the way it ought to be. And, you know, this is what you're trying to achieve. This is what you're accomplishing. And your minions will show up by the thousands at the next rally you organize specifically for this purpose, so that the cameras can capture thousands of people just singing your praises. Oh, Trump is so great. Yay, Trump. Yay, Trump. You're doing the best thing. Get these defects out of the military. And we will thank the Lord because you're doing godly work. You're saving the country from the influence of gays and transgendered people, right? That's what you're doing. You're doing a great job. Well, he said a major concern was cost. And the cost had to do with the health care associated with providing medical coverage for transgender people, as they, many of them are still maintaining their health programs, or many are contemplating going through the gender change and so forth. And therefore, it is to be expected that they would be looking to get medical care. That's the reason he's using. For the first part, though, we ought to say there are not that many people in the U.S. Armed Forces that are transgender. There are some, quite a few thousand. But as a percentage of the entire population, it's very, very small. Very small number. And as far as coverage is concerned, similarly, it doesn't even amount to, it's actually the Pew, I forgot the name of the organization now, I'll look it up, who did a study on this. They were commissioned, in fact, by the military to study this. And they said, they found that the healthcare costs, if they will increase as a reflection of an increased number of soldiers who are, not just soldiers, but military personnel, I should say, who are now in the armed forces, it's less than 2%. Now, this is the projected increase in cost for coverage, medical coverage, is less than 2% of what it is now. So you can't make a good case there for expenses at all. You just can't make a good case there. The numbers say an entirely different story. And this was from, this is not stuff off anybody's head. This comes from a report done just last year from the RAND Corporation, requested of the RAND Corporation by the military and by the president, the then president of the United States. They see no dramatic increase in costs on any level at all. They see very modest, and that's a wrong adjective, but negligible, that's the right word. They see negligible increases in cost. So I have no idea where Donald Trump is getting his information from, but I think he should be able to trust a report. It's titled Assessing the Implications of Allowing Transgender Personnel to Serve Openly. That's the name of the report. And it covers the full realm. It speaks to the cost of treatment or the estimated cost of increased cost of treatment, and they say it's negligible. I can't read the entire report to you. It's, you know, it's sizable, and it would take some time to go through it, but I imagine it is available online by the RAND Corporation, Assessing the Implications of Allowing Transgender Personnel to Serve Openly. And they laid it out in every single area of concern, in seven specific area of concerns. What are the healthcare needs of the transgender population? What is the estimated transgender population in the U.S. military? They answered that. How many transgender service members are likely to seek gender transition-related medical treatment? What are the costs associated with extending healthcare coverage to gender transition-related treatments? What are the potential readiness implications of allowing transgender service members to serve openly? What lessons can be learned from foreign militaries that permit transgender personnel to serve openly? Which Department of Defense policies would need to be changed if transgender service members are allowed to serve openly? So it's a comprehensive report. And in every instance, in every chapter, as it were, from the headlines I just read to you, you can use them as chapter descriptions. The report is both comprehensive and quite assuring. None of the things that Donald Trump said today with regard to costs and with regard to, so, as he put it, distraction, None of those things were evidenced in this report. And this is the report that was requested so that the military can pursue its part of the game, which is to figure out how you're going to openly deal with this. That's a very positive move. Barack Obama did that after, of course, integrating the military, which was a good thing. The report strengthens his action. Another good thing. Here we have this bozo showing up, filled with hate. I bet you he hasn't read any reports, because in his head, they don't matter. Why should you go with facts? Why should you trust reports commissioned by the military and your former president, and the report comes back and says all these things? It delineates every single major question that was asked, and they answered them with facts and figures and with knowledge. You do a sneak attack. You know, you drop the mother of all bombs early in the morning to disrupt the lives of tens of, I would say, hundreds of thousands of people in the military and their relatives and their friends and their communities and the larger community of Americans who could not, who still can't understand that in 2017, we still have for president, What do you call this? What kind of, this is not insightful leadership. A Cro-Magnon approach to dealing with people and understanding what the times call for. So out the window, we should, this report, everybody should read it if you have some questions about this action that the president unilaterally took. The report is quite comprehensive, and it answers very critical questions that the military itself, military personnel in leadership positions, had asked these questions. They wanted to see what the research would show. Was it a case that hatred was so prevalent that it didn't matter what the research showed? But this is a wrong, a massive wrong being committed in our name by someone totally out of control. Nobody seems to be able to rein this guy in and say, you can't do this. Because on the advice of my generals, still trying to hide behind people for his rotten decision, he's going to blame them right now. He's blaming them now. On the advice of my generals, we simply cannot have transgender people in the military. They'll be a distraction, and they'll cost too much money in terms of medical coverage. So do what you got to do to have your voice heard on this and show support. This was an unwarranted attack on people who don't deserve it. They're just as patriotic as the generals who have advised the president. And they ought to have been recognized for the service they are giving and have given to the country. How many transgendered people, gays, served in the military, and died for this country. The country does not even recognize them. And I say this in full, remembrance of African Americans in particular, because I'm one. And I knew personally, and I still know, many African American soldiers, Latino soldiers, totally used up by this country, totally disrespected by this country, despite the fact that they went to war for this country. Many are homeless now. That's what the figures are showing. They've been thrown out in the street. They have no housing. They have no medical care. A friend of mine who was living in Michigan, teaching part-time while he was trying to get his doctorate, he was severely disabled. And in order for him to get medical attention, he had to reserve, he had to make an appointment about 3 months in advance. I had to fly from New York to Lansing, Michigan, rent a car from there. I said to you, he was disabled, severely disabled. And drive 18 hours to Murfreesboro, to the VA hospital, in order that he can get medical attention. You tell me. And he earned medals and whatnot for his service in the military. You know, I know stories like that. I've been part of stories like that. In this country, where people put their lives on the line for the country, he had to jump out of planes and parachute in. All right. A very, very interesting way this country has treated its veterans for all kinds of stupid reasons. And here we have this president coming up with a brilliant one, that transgender people somehow are going to cause massive disruption. They haven't so far. There's no history that gays, lesbians, transgender people, however you want to create some kind of a distorted definition. The main thing is that these are soldiers. These are people who opted, who volunteered to serve their country. And this is what their country is doing to them before our very eyes. And we ought to say no. What are your thoughts? At 888-874-4888. I'm not going to take a break. I just realized that I ran over time ridiculously. But I wanted to give you some more time to talk. But tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. You'll have time to talk about things that we didn't get to today, including me, things I didn't get to. This is outrageous. This is an outrageous act. It's disgraceful. It's dishonorable. And we really ought to get agitated about it. We really ought to. This president does not deserve the office that he happens to occupy. He really doesn't. He's a disgrace to that office. And people are letting him be a disgrace. He apparently has nobody who can, you know, take him to a small room somewhere and let him have it. This is not the behavior of a president. This is not how it's supposed to be. Is it too much to ask this man to behave with some kind of decorum and respect? Michael from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yes, and hi to the PRN audience.
Thank you.
Patrice,
you too.
I was listening to your editorializing, and I think I don't even know that we have to consider all these financial situations, etc. I don't think it's constitutional what he's doing. I think that these issues have been settled in the courts based on equal treatment under the law and non-discrimination for sex, etc. I think all these laws have been hammered out, and I think what he's doing is unconstitutional. I think he's made a political calculation that whether, you know, just throwing it out there is like red meat to his base or something, and he doesn't have to worry about it. I don't think it's legal what he's doing.
Well, here's the question. The question that you raise has to do with a possible difference in the way the law applies to the military as opposed to us regular citizens.
Well,
and
that could be, but
he is acting as commander-in-chief, and it could be regarded as military law that he's acting under. I don't know what he's claiming, but the reason I point to the study was that it's not like he doesn't know, or this information does not exist. The information exists. So this is a deliberate act on his part. And he may be very, very confident that he is acting well within his parameters as a commander-in-chief. I don't know, but I do know that this is despicable.
Yeah, well,
and
I think that the
I know he's going to, I think he messed with a good group. He chose a really good group to mess with. He will soon get to know the degree of support that people have out here. There'll be protests. This is not going to go down easily at all.
No, and I still question, I understand what you're saying about the military, but I think the military is also constrained by the Constitution. And I think there are constitutional issues in what he's proposing. Because, you know, equal treatment under the law and non-discrimination based on sex are already established in the courts. And I think that these issues can be brought up.
Well, those issues have been brought up, and you make a very strong point. The thing, though, is non-discrimination and all of that apply in the regular world. They apply to the world of work as we know it. It hasn't been tested, I don't think, as it relates to military law. So we'll have to see where it goes.
Yes.
But you make an excellent point. I've thought about it myself, about the constitutionality of it. But I'm sure some general lawyer might have found a way to rationalize this move, which tells us the kinds of pressures that people are living with that we don't get to see. We don't understand it. We don't get to see it. But they certainly are living in an autocratic society, which is what the military is, and they have to obey orders, unquote. But we'll see. I think a good legal fight is due on this question.
Yes, I'd like to see a statement from the ACLU on it.
Oh, I'm sure a whole bunch of lawyers since yesterday have begun to, dust off their law books, and they're talking to each other. And I think a group approach would work here, and that they will take this on. This is a very serious issue.
Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. 888-874-4888. The thing is, this is the time, when these things are done, the assumption is one of two things. Either people will protest, and it gives Trump a huge boost, because he sees what we see. His numbers are going down the toilet, his ratings, and he's obsessed with ratings. They're going down the toilet. He has alienated himself even from his cabinet members and from Congress, certainly. So he's an extremely unpopular guy right now. In a weird way of thinking, doing something this preposterous, this outrageous, draws attention to oneself, which is what Trump adores. He loves people talking about him. Even if it's bad, it's good. And now, with that happening off of this action that he has taken yesterday morning, what he will begin to do is deflect from the many failures that have assailed him so far, only 6 months into his presidency. But it is unlike any other president's presidency, and he's got the entire country, surrounded and enveloped in chaos after chaos, showing he's the wrong guy for the job. And people are likely to start making moves on that score. How do we get this man out of here? Get him out of office. He's not fit for the job. He might be good building hotels and casinos. The presidency, no. He has no clue how this is done. But in the meantime, he is creating destruction all over the place. And apart from the fact that I said very early on, something is wrong with him. Something is wrong with him. And he's got to be reined in. People don't seem to be able to do it. They may not even agree. But I did see in the last couple of days two articles from two national psychological associations warning its members to tread very carefully on saying publicly anything about the president's mental or allegedly mental condition. Do not publicly say anything that would lead people to believe that you, as a professional, believe something is wrong. So they were being advised. Advisories were being issued in the form of an article. But the psychological associations are clearly saying to psychiatrists and psychologists who are likely to be contacted by the media seeking comment on his highly irregular behavior, that there are certain barriers and certain limitations that they must observe. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Teresa, and the PRN audience.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, let's not forget, it might be a bad decision to you and to me, and I think it's a disgraceful thing to do to people, transgender people, but the people that like him, that support him, it's a great thing. That's what you have to remember. He's making decisions and doing things for the people that support him, not for the people that don't support him.
Oh, sure, but there's something there, too, to be said. They weren't the only ones who voted in the election. And more and more, as you look at the polls, maybe he got a great, and he did, he did get a great boost from the outsiders, people who did not really go for even the Republican Party establishment. They went with him. That's great. That means that he talked the language that they understood and wanted to hear. But this is also a different time. He's elected, and now we expect to see something suggesting that he understands what it means to be president of the United States. And he's showing time and again that he doesn't have that understanding. And worse, he doesn't intend to have that understanding. He has convinced himself and his base, as it were, that this is, in fact, a good thing, that he doesn't have this allegiance to the way things are done. He's a different guy, and he doesn't intend to change. He says that. He doesn't intend to change. So it is something that we have to deal with also, but one thing at a time. Thanks a lot for calling in. That brings us to the end of the program today. Tomorrow, of course, we will have more time. The entire program is yours on Free Your Mind Friday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me via email at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. I thank you for listening. I thank you for giving me some time to talk a little bit about this outrageous atrocity today. And we'll see each other tomorrow. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.